College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Marquette head coach Steve Wojciechowski. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being brought to you by Geico. Did you know there is a quick way you could save money? Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com.
John's big three thoughts from the weekend.
I'm gonna give you three.
Thought number one, Duke's quest is holding serve. Duke improved to 19-2 overall with a 30-point win over St. John's. Trey Jones was tremendous in the victory, holding Shamari Ponds to 11 points. And as you start to look big picture right now, remember we are about 41 days away from Selection Sunday. Duke, to me, has the inside track to be the top overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Why do I say that? When you evaluate the Blue Devils' overall body of work, these are the wins already on Duke's resume. Neutral site triumphs over Kentucky, Texas Tech, and Auburn, a home win over Virginia, and a road triumph, obviously, at Florida State. And this is really a big thing to remember. If Duke gets the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, it will likely be in the East region. Why is that so imperative for the Blue Devils? Those regionals will be played in Washington, D.C., just a couple hours away from Durham, North Carolina. Duke hosts Boston College on Tuesday before the rematch in Charlottesville with Virginia on Saturday. Observation number two from the weekend, Purdue is boiling hot. The Boilermakers are now in a first-place tie with both Michigan and Michigan State atop the Big Ten standings. Purdue's won seven straight games and 10 out of 11. The only loss during that stretch was at Michigan State. And look right now at what Matt Painter is doing. Four starters were lost from last year's team that lost in the Sweet 16. Isaac Haas, Vince Edwards, PJ Thompson, and Dakota Mathias, and you're starting to see the product in terms of the production level of Purdue have no drop-offs. Nojel Eastern has emerged alongside Carson Edwards as a bona fide glue guy and also an initiator on offense. Great defender. And you're starting to see the post play of freshman Travion Williams and veteran Matt Harms come to fruition. Harms was sensational all around in Sunday's win against Minnesota. Purdue, after losing four starters, in position to potentially win a Big Ten regular season title. And my third headline from the weekend, the wild turnaround in Waco. Baylor has lost two starters for the season and is currently tied for first place in the Big 12 standings. Jake Lindsey out for the year with a hip injury, and Tristan Clark, the big man, also out for the year. Scott Drew doing one of the best coaching jobs of his career. Baylor's won six straight games, and the team outlook has completely changed since losing Tristan Clark in the pivot. You are seeing, obviously, a more spread look right now in spurts offensively with Mark Vital and Mario Kegler looking together more up front. But also, Baylor has gotten a major lift and got major mileage out of Freddie Gillespie. And I talked to Baylor staff about Gillespie last week. Here is somebody who came to Baylor initially, who was not expected to be a Division I player, paid his own way at the start before becoming a scholarship player. He's a big factor in the rotation. Mekhi Mason, the grad transfer from Yale, is a big factor in rotation. He had 40 Saturday against TCU. Next up for Scott Drew and company, a in-state tilt with Texas this week in Austin. Marquette's a team that also has a big week in college basketball. How have the Golden Eagles been so good and so consistent? We find out when the head coach of Marquette, Steve Wojciechowski, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Marquette is 19-3 after 22 games. It's a big week for the Golden Eagles. They will have back-to-back home contests in Milwaukee against St. John's and Villanova. And the head coach of Marquette is Steve Wojciechowski. And he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Steve, you said over the summer that you felt this was going to be the best team that you coached at Marquette. What gave you that feeling?
Well, I really like the potential of our team, our roster. We had some guys coming back who were thrown into the fire as young players and had gained valuable experience and were very talented. And I love the character of our team. You know, just, you know, everybody from our best players to our walk-ons, we have guys who are bought into trying to accomplish the mission.
You know, Steve, your first two big non-conference games, you lost to Indiana and Kansas, and then you rallied to beat Louisville at the Barclays Center. How much did getting a win like that give you confidence and momentum as you closed out the rest of your slate in December with big games against programs like Kansas State, Wisconsin, and Buffalo?
Well, we set up our non-conference schedule to challenge ourselves, and we certainly did that. The Louisville win for us was a great win. We have a lot of respect for the Louisville program. They have an outstanding team. I thought our team showed great toughness in that game and great resolve. And anytime you can get a big win over a quality opponent, it gives you confidence and it gives you something to build on.
Part of having breakthrough seasons is the ability to win close games, and your team is 6-0 this season in games decided by 5 points or less. Why has your team consistently been able to play your best when it matters the most?
Well, our guys have really done a great job in critical situations, and you know, we have our two leaders in Marcus Howard and Sam Hauser. Those guys have played a lot of basketball, and we've tried to have to figure out how to fit pieces around them. But those two guys obviously are a great start. They've been in a lot of close games over the course of their career that we've won a number and we've lost some. But those guys provide great on-court leadership, especially in tight situations.
Marquette head coach Steve Wojciechowski joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Golden Eagles 19-3, home games this week against St. John's and Villanova in Milwaukee. Now, you had the privilege of obviously being an assistant coach at your alma mater, Duke, before you became a head coach at Marquette. And at Duke, obviously, there was a slew of talented guards that you coached that did a lot of special things. Jay Williams, Kyrie Irving, Austin Rivers. Where does Marcus Howard stack up against some of the most talented scoring guards that you've coached either as an assistant or a head coach?
Well, Marcus has had an incredible career here at Marquette to this point this year. He's worthy of being in the discussion, and he's earned being in the discussion for National Player of the Year. I'm so proud of his continued growth as a player, as a leader. He's as good as it gets, and we're very fortunate that he's a part of our program, not only because of who he is as a player, but who he is as a person as well. He sets an amazing tone and example for everyone to follow.
You know, Steve, it's so tough sometimes to really give everybody their due when you're talking about, you know, the best guards in college basketball and the best players of college basketball. And this year specifically in the Big East, there's a slew of guards playing at an extremely high level. Why is it maybe that Marcus isn't getting the attention he deserves for doing things that are really unheard of when you think about how consistent he's been, not just scoring the ball, but scoring the ball at an effective rate?
You know, I don't know what the answer to that question is, to be honest with you. I think Marcus is really separated himself as a player this year. I think, you know, he's gotten some attention, and if we keep winning and he keeps playing at the level that he's playing at, all those things will fall into place. One of the great things about Marcus is he doesn't do it for the attention. You know, he wants our team to be in a position to win basketball games, win the Big East, and do some things in the postseason.
You know, I was watching your game last week when you had a win at Butler, and he created separation and hit a big shot late in the game, and the reaction on the sideline from you was just like he keeps coming up with things that are even shocking the people that are with him every day. And you've pointed this out to me on several occasions. He's a very young kid for his age. He's still obviously getting better each time he takes the floor, but what do you think he needs to improve on in the next 6 weeks or so to really be at his best when you get ready to make a move in the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, I think he needs to continue the path that he's on. I mean, I think he's obviously in the National Player of the Year discussion because of his excellent play, and he needs to continue to do that. He needs to be an everyday guy for us and set the tone in our preparation and practice, and then continue to deliver on the basketball court whatever the team needs at that moment. And I think he's done that, and we need him to continue to do that while we improve as a team.
Marquette head coach Steve Wojciechowski joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Golden Eagles 19-3 after 22 games. Now, this is a big week for Marquette. Every week's a big week, but you host first St. John's, a team that beat you on New Year's Day when you played in New York, and then you host Villanova, who's won two of the last three national championships. Where does this week rank compared to some of the biggest weeks you've had as Marquette's head coach?
Well, you know, I don't rank weeks. You know, my focus is on St. John's. Obviously, they handled us really easily in New York. They have outstanding players. They're very difficult matchups because of their shooting and their isolation and driving ability. We know we have a huge challenge coming up tomorrow night, and that's where my focus is, and that's where our team focus is. You know, obviously, Villanova has been the standard bearer in the Big East, and once the St. John's game is past us, we'll start locking in on them.
You know, Steve, it's interesting with St. John's because they've been a little bit of a mercurial team. You know, one night, like when they played against you, they looked like a team that could be a real nuisance in the NCAA tournament. Other nights, they don't look as consistent. You're preparing to play them right now. For you, as you evaluate them and you've already played them and you get ready for them on film, as a head coach who's getting ready to play St. John's, what are the biggest things that, you know, cause you concern as you're, you know, a day or so away from playing them for a second time?
Well, you know, really, they exploited us on both ends of the floor last time we played them. I thought they competed harder. I thought they played more together than we did. And those are things that need to be fixed. Obviously, they are a potent offensive team. A lot of people point to Shamori Ponds, and he deserves all the accolades he gets. But Marvin Clark and Heron and Figueroa, I mean, they are an outstanding overall team. And with their quickness and their length and their ability to switch defensively on the defensive end, they can force you into tough situations if you're not precise and sharp in running your offense.
Marquette head coach Steve Wojciechowski joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Golden Eagles 19-3 will host St. John's and Villanova this week. You know, Steve, Villanova, as you mentioned, has been the standard bearer in the Big East. How much does their consistency, regardless of personnel, remind you of what you went through as both a player and a coach at Duke?
Well, one of the things I admire about Villanova, they never seem to beat themselves. You have to play an outstanding game to beat them, because you're not going to catch them on a night where they're not ready to play, where they're not prepared, where the kids aren't playing their hearts out for one another. And that's a formula that enables you to sustain success. Even though, you know, there has been some turnover, their culture is still there, and they have two amazing leaders in Booth and Pascal. And when they're on the floor, they can beat anyone in America.
You know, you've been a head coach now since 2014. What's the biggest thing you know now about holding that title a couple years later that you didn't know prior to taking the post?
Well, the list is too long to go through. You know, they always say that 12 inches is a lot more than 12 inches, and they're certainly right about that. But we're really pleased with the position our program's in. I love the kids that I get to work with and coach on a daily basis. Our team has done some good things to this point in the season, but we're also realistic in that we can get a lot better, and we're going to need to get a lot better as we continue through this Big East play.
You know, I remember I was having a conversation once with Tommy Amaker, who you know, obviously from Duke, and was an assistant like you were for Coach K. And he told me that, you know, one of the reasons why he was so excited about taking the Seton Hall job when he eventually left Duke was just experiencing something that wasn't Duke for the first time and the challenge of building something like that. What has that been like for you? I know you're at a program that has great tradition, but just being at a place now that wasn't what you were familiar with as an assistant coach and as obviously a player.
Well, it's been amazing, and the reason the journey here at Marquette's been amazing is because of the quality of people that I get to work for and work with. You know, my president, my AD, all the people on my staff are just elite-level people. They make me better every day. And so, you know, it's been a work in progress, and it's been a process to get to the point we're at, and we need to continue to work each day to improve our program. But the people that I get to do that with on a daily basis make Marquette special.
Well, and one thing that's special too, and you can see it obviously when you play a home game, is the new arena that you're playing in. How much has that really transcended and augmented just the Marquette basketball experience this year?
Well, Fiserv Forum was a huge win for our program and really the city of Milwaukee. It's a beautiful building. It's generated a ton of interest. And I think people, when we started the season, were curious to watch our team play in this new, beautiful arena. Fortunately, I think we have a team that's easy to root for. And so that's kept people coming back. You know, we've had amazing home court crowds. I think we're in the top 10 in attendance to this point in the season. And our fan base and our crowds have been so supportive all year long. And Fiserv has been an amazing place for us to play.
Marquette head coach Steve Wojciechowski joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Golden Eagles 19-3. Now, Marcus Howard, Sam Hauser, two guys obviously are going to get warranted attention for your team. But, you know, Steve, the big thing I noticed, and I really start to notice when you had a great win over Buffalo in December, is that Theo John has emerged into an enforcer for you in the paint. How much has his evolution enabled you as well to get off to the start that you're on right now?
Yeah, really proud of the progress Theo's made from his freshman to his sophomore year, and certainly his ability to protect our basket with his shot blocking, with his verticality, with his physicality has been a huge plus to our defense. I would add Ed Morrow to that conversation as well. Those guys have given us a physical presence around the basket, especially defensively, that we haven't necessarily had. And that's made the whole defense a lot better. And those two guys, and especially Theo, deserve a lot of credit in that respect.
Well, you know, they've been great, you know, defensively, and it seems like in spurts offensively, the guy who's been an X factor of sorts has been Sakar Anum. You know, he was huge, I thought, in a win you had against Seton Hall. He was also big in a game that you won at Georgetown without Marcus Howard. What changes for your team when you get offensive production out of Sakar?
Well, yeah, I think he is an X factor. And Sakar is one of those guys who will do whatever he is asked to do for the team. And but there's no question that when he's in attack mode and he's getting downhill and driving the ball and making plays, whether it's for himself or for his teammates, we're a much more dynamic offensive team. And the games where Sakar has really done that, we've played generally our best offensive basketball. And so, you know, Sakar has been quietly a very important player on our team. He's a glue guy. I don't know if he gets a recognition that he certainly deserves in my mind, but he's been a very important piece to our success this year.
And, you know, having success means winning big games. And, you know, you had won big games in Marquette before this year. I remember when you won a game against Villanova a couple years ago, and it was a great scene, obviously, in Milwaukee. You spoke about Villanova a bunch during this chat. You tweeted out a quote from Coach K, I think it was in the middle of the night, where if what you did yesterday looks big, then you haven't done much today. I'm curious, I know you're obviously laying down your own roots with Marquette, but how much do you take what Coach K taught you and implement it on a daily or weekly basis from the years you spent under him at Duke, both as a player and as an assistant?
Well, obviously, Coach K has had a huge impact on my life and certainly my my basketball life in specific, playing for him and then working for him both at Duke and with the Olympic team. You know, you draw on lessons that you learn from him each day, and it's not necessarily always X's and O's, although certainly we do that. But it's his ability to build a program, to stay true to his values, to have relationships with the people that matter the most, the players and the staff and the people that you work with on a daily basis are all lessons that I've learned from him. And I'm thankful for the example that he's shown me and all my friends out there in college coaching right now.
You know, I think I mentioned this to you before. I know I've talked about it with other people in the Duke family. But, you know, aside from the year where he was too ill to coach in the mid-90s, Duke has been in every NCAA tournament since 1984. Sustaining success, people always say, is sometimes harder than getting and achieving success the first time. How much about that aspect of the program has helped you this season as you've become more of a hunted program versus a program that was doing the hunting?
Well, you know, I think if you have a choice, you always want to be the hunted. That means you're doing a lot of really good things, and that if teams beat you, those wins mean a lot for that team and that program. And so, you know, again, we have a long way to go as a program. I'm proud of the progress that we've made, but we want to still continue to get better. And being able to take people's best shots and handle those things at a high level are going to be really important as we head down this stretch run.
Well, final thing, Steve, we're a little less right now than 6 weeks away from Selection Sunday. What are the biggest things that Marquette needs to improve on in that time to have the best possible chance to be a team that nobody wants to play in the NCAA tournament?
Well, we got to get there first, you know, and you know, again, that may sound silly, but like we there's more work to do to earn that right. But again, I think defensively we need to continue to sharpen our defense and have that be a calling card, which it's been to this point, and maintain the level of defensive execution on a daily basis. And then offensively continue to find the right balance of playing inside and outside and then taking care of the basketball. I think those are all areas that we need to and can get better at.
Well, Steve, appreciate a couple of minutes. Know how busy you are. Good luck this week against St. John's and Villanova, and look forward to staying connected along the way.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on.
We'd like to thank Marquette head coach Steve Wojciechowski for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And it's now time for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question is from Jack Roberts, and it's, John, are the Auburn Tigers contenders or pretenders? Jack, this is what I'm going to tell you right now. Auburn is a different team at home. Auburn seems to have more confidence at home, and they're a team that's reliant on the three-point shot. I think when we see Austin Wiley come back from injury, you will see Auburn be in a situation where they will be a little bit more consistent on the interior. I am always suspect of teams that rely on the three to play deep in the NCAA tournament, but also conversely, you can make the argument that all teams that advance in March and potentially into April have great guard play. And Auburn has that with Jarrett Harper and with Bryce Brown. And a big thing I liked when Auburn lost games, when they lost to Mississippi State, when they lost at South Carolina, they were a team that for all intents and purposes was very competitive on the road. That's a good sign for Bruce Pearl and company. And our next question comes from Andrew Lagerwins. John, how do you not have Washington on your top 25? They've won 12 in a row and 9-0 in the Pac-12 as of now. Well, look, Andrew, this is what I'm going to tell you right now. If you are a track star and you win a race against 20 other offensive linemen, are you going to feel satisfied? Are you going to look at that trophy and be very thrilled with your performance? You shouldn't be. The Pac-12 right now looks like a 1-2 bid league. And going 9-0 in the Pac-12 just means to me that you haven't helped yourself yet and you haven't hurt yourself yet. Now, was Washington very good on the road in the non-conference game at Gonzaga? Absolutely. Should they have probably held on against Minnesota before Gabe Kalischer made a shot at the buzzer when they played in Vancouver? Absolutely. But Washington did not maximize their opportunities in the non-conference portion of the schedule. I think if Washington beats Arizona and Arizona State on the road this week, then you'll start to see Washington get a little bit more national respect. But if you're trying to evaluate Washington based on beating teams this season, like USC, UCLA, Colorado, Utah, Cal, Stanford, with all due respect to those programs, and if you're putting the Huskies against other teams you're considering for the top 25, it's a tough sell considering just how bad and how down the Pac-12 is. One more question right now, and then we'll wrap things up. Is Marquette a legitimate Final Four contender? This is from Edward Hussey. Edward, this is what I'll tell you. Marquette has done an unbelievable job at winning close games. Now, I will also say this. The Big East is in a dangerous position right now because you've got two teams who are clearly going to be in the NCAA tournament, Marquette and Villanova. And then you've got eight other teams that are all sandwiched together. And if the league continues to cannibalize itself from 3 to 10 like it has the last 2 or 3 weeks, there's a legitimate chance that this league could have only two teams left when it's all said and done, and only two teams in the NCAA tournament. I think we're going to know a lot more about Marquette after these next two games. St. John's on Tuesday, Villanova on Saturday. So Marquette and Washington, two teams obviously with some big weeks ahead and some big litmus tests ahead. Look, I want to give Marquette all sorts of credit for what they've done. It's a skill to win close games. It's a skill to execute the way Marquette is executed. But the weight class gets raised this week when they host a St. John's team that beat them by 20 at Karnisek Arena, and you host a Villanova team that doesn't have what it had, but still has enough to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. Let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, Clark's continued prowess. Brandon Clark had two block shots Saturday against San Diego in the Bulldogs' win. He now has the exact same number of blocks that Zach Collins had during the entire 16-17 season. Nugget number two, Cumberland's climb. It's time to officially start talking about Jarron Cumberland of Cincinnati as a potential second or third team All-American. He has willed the Bearcats to a 19-3 record despite losing three starters. Nugget number three, Hoosier hope. Regardless of the seven-game losing streak that Indiana snapped Saturday at Michigan State, the Hoosiers still have the marquee quad one wins they're going to need to potentially get into the NCAA tournament as long as they can just keep things afloat the rest of the way. In addition to winning against Michigan State and East Lansing, they've also beaten Louisville at home, and they've also beaten Marquette. Those are three big victories for Indiana. Nugget number four, Powerful Perry. Reggie Perry of Mississippi State isn't just one of the best freshmen in the SEC. He's one of the best freshmen in the country. In his last three games for the Bulldogs, he's averaging 16.3 points, 9.7 rebounds, one block a game, and shooting 53% from the field. This is a burgeoning prospect for Ben Howland. And nugget number five, Wolfpack hot from deep. And we're talking about Nevada. Eric Musselman was a guest on the College Hoops Today podcast with myself last week, and he talked about Nevada's need to make more outside shots. In the two games that Nevada played last week, they shot a combined 44% from long distance. Those are the types of numbers that could lead Nevada back to a second weekend appearance in the NCAA tournament. Now let's get the games to watch brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Tuesday night, St. John's at Marquette. Keep in mind, Marcus Howard was held to 8 points when these two teams played earlier in January. Florida State at Syracuse, two off-the-radar teams in the ACC that, in my opinion, could both get back to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. Kansas at Kansas State. Are the Jayhawks going to hold serve again in the Big 12? We will know a lot more by how they respond at Kansas State Tuesday night. Wednesday, LSU at Mississippi State, and then Wisconsin, who hasn't lost since it played at Maryland in January, goes to Minnesota. We'd like to thank Marquette head coach Steve Wojciechowski for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.